Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's news collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Lauren Tucker, and Paige Lang. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and the Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. Kingston Writers Fest has found a new home base for this year's festival after 15 years at the Holiday Inn. At the Writers Fest launch party last week, it was announced that the festival plans to spread throughout downtown Kingston this year, with the Screening Room serving as the primary venue. The Independent Theatre, a beloved landmark in the heart of the city and home to the best popcorn in town, is known for its unique, down-to-earth atmosphere, and will be host to onstage author events, the festival bookshop, and the box office during the 16th annual festival in September 2024. Other event locations this year include the Mansion, Confederation Place Hotel, Something in the Water Brewing Company, and the Delta. In a release, KWF stated, quote, "With the focus in 2024 being connection, conversation, and creation, the festival encourages readers and writers to immerse themselves in the vibrant heart of the city, with events being held throughout downtown," end quote. I sat down with Ara McCulley, artistic director for this year's Writers' Fest, to discuss the upcoming event and these new announcements.
There are some pretty big changes this year, including a new home base after 15 years at the Holiday Inn. How did the Screening Room enter the conversation to be the venue for this year?
Well, I'll say, there's been a lot of changes. We're always evolving as a festival. And I'll say that post-COVID, things have changed quite a bit for us. And some of that has meant the size of the audience that we have. There's pros and cons with that. But one of the pros is that with smaller audiences, we were able to explore new venues. And one of the things we've really been focusing on, I think, since we came back with live programming in 2022 is the idea of really celebrating this amazing community that we're a part of. And so when it became a possibility that we could use the Screening Room, we were all really excited about that. We really want the festival to feel like you're going to an event, right? Like you're not going to a convention center. You're not sitting on a folding chair. You're actually it's exciting. It's like the excitement of going to the movies. And we wanted to kind of capture some of that for the festival as well as really getting the festival in the heart of downtown Kingston and celebrating the amazing independent locations that we have here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Screening Room, it's a nonprofit and it's definitely a beloved landmark here in Kingston. Mm-hmm. How do you think this location change is going to impact the festival in terms of, both the location right downtown, the space available within the Screening Room, and just the energy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the energy is one of the things I'm really excited about. The feedback I've been getting from people, as I've mentioned this, is a lot of excitement. As you say, the Screening Room is known and loved. It's already established as an arts hub. It hosts Reel Out, it hosts KCFF. So there's that, people are used to going there for cultural events. It's got the best popcorn in town, which doesn't hurt either. I think what it's going to do is really enhance that sense of intimacy that we go for with the festival. We want the festival to feel relaxed, to feel immersive. We want people in the audience to feel like they're a part of something special and that they really get the opportunity to know the author well. One of the fabulous things that we're working on is having a pop-up novel idea right downstairs in the main lobby of the Screening Room. So I know we're not far from the actual novel idea bookstore, but people won't have to leave the building to buy their books this year either, which I think that was a big thing for us. So, we do have some offsite locations for some of the events that we know are going to be really big, but we've tried to keep them all within walking distance and I think it'll be a lot of fun for people to kind of explore downtown.
Yeah, for sure. I couldn't think of a better place, honestly. And I was wondering if you could get into some of the events that will be hosted within the Screening Room this year.
Yeah, absolutely. So opening night, we have a great conversation between local artist Jeremy Marshall, also known as Jay Marsh. He's a local poet, spoken word, and musical performer. He's going to be talking with Danny Ramadan. Danny is an amazing human being. He fled Syria as a refugee because he was being persecuted for his sexuality. Then he came to Canada. And since he's been here, he's raised over $300,000 for LGBTQ plus refugees. He's been sainted. He's written 7 books. So he's got a memoir out this year. And it's a really, really fascinating read. And you know, he's a very kind human, but he also doesn't pull his punches. So I think it'll be challenging for the reader in the idea of, like, you know, Canada, yeah, it's a better place in some ways than where he came from, but it's not all just sunshine and roses. And like, there are some really hard things about having to leave the home that you love, even if it is problematic. So yeah, that's Wednesday night. Thursday evening, we're really excited. We have Tanya Talaga. Tanya is an award-winning author of 7 Fallen Feathers, and she has created this incredible Indigenous-focused look at Canadian history from the perspective of her great-great-grandmother on. So it looks at, it's a look at generational trauma. It's a look at the history that we've buried and the history that we're uncovering now, called The Knowing. It's not all intense, heavy things, though. We have a really fun Saturday morning event based around this book called Secret Sex. So a couple dozen Canadian authors wrote anonymous sex stories for this book. Not something that you necessarily think of Canadian writers doing, but we'll have a few of the authors on stage, as well as the person who put together the anthology. And people who are reading will be reading their favorite stories, not the ones they wrote. So I think it'll just be a little bit of fun. Saturday night, we have The Big Idea. That's one of our marquee events. And we're looking at the fate of democracy in North America. Not a small topic, but with the U.S. election looming and with a Canadian one not far behind, I think that'll be really, really timely. We've also got some great food events. We've got our writer's retreat workshops are back. And then our programming in schools for kids and our high school programming as well. So yeah, there's still, you know, we're a little more compact this year, but there's still tons of excellent programming for people to check out.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you had your launch party last night, and you mentioned you got some feedback on these events and the new location and everything. How was that?
Yeah, I mean, it's always really great because, you know, you're working in a vacuum most of the year, or, you know, and we've been working at home for most of this. And so it's really nice to actually, like, share it with people outside your office and see what they say. We have a beautifully designed program this year. I'm really, really proud of it. And the illustrations for our posters and all of our creative is by Hayden Maynard, who's a local artist, which is amazing. So I think, like, the design is really, really strong this year. And yeah, as I mentioned before, a lot of people were really, really excited. We got a lot of cheers when I mentioned the screening room. And I think people were excited about the programming we have here too. We're trying to keep it really relevant and topical to what people are really thinking about right now.
McCulley also discussed how the festival has changed since the pandemic, and how this change in venue is part of KWF adapting to the post-COVID festival landscape.
You mentioned we're moving to a bit more of a compact venue, so that's sort of due to numbers being a bit down after COVID. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, in talking with colleagues, I mean, I'm part of the Canadian Association of Literary Festivals, so, you know, we had a conference about this actually just in the spring. And I think, like, there hasn't been a normal since 2019. And I think a lot of us were not sure what things were going to look like as we came back. I think, you know, there was expectations of like, okay, we're going to see a drop in tickets, but then it's going to come back up. And unfortunately, that hasn't been the case. You know, funding has been cut as well. So, you know, there have certainly been some challenges in that those ways. And part of that is realizing that the festivals we put on in 2019 aren't what we are going to be able to put on in like 2024 and beyond. So, I mean, at the end of the day, our priority is creating a great festival for our audiences and creating a great experience for our artists. So it's looking at like, where can you creatively cut costs without cutting the quality of the program that you're presenting to people?
Yeah, for sure. And we're set to have an amazing year this year, though. We have a dedicated writers and reader community here in Kingston and awesome new venue and lots of excitement this year. So that should be great. And how are you feeling walking into the 16th season?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing to see like how the festival's evolved, you know, from sort of my little involvement with it back in 2014 when I first started to seeing it now. It's incredible the amount of support and the people that have been behind the festival since day one. It's amazing to see like how the Kingston arts community like continues to be so strong. Like, you know, we programmed, I think, about a dozen local authors this year, and that was not even like everyone that's published this year, right? So it's like, it's a good problem to have, but it's amazing to be able to see that that creative spark and that that group of artists is still going strong here in Kingston.
The actual festival is in September, which is coming up quick. How can folks start preparing, get their reading list together, and figure out what events they'd like to go to?
Yeah, so we have, as well as a new venue, we have a completely brand new website, which I'm so happy about. That's been many, many years of wishing. So yeah, if you visit kingstonwritersfest.ca, you can take a look at the program there and purchase tickets. We do have an actual reading list, which includes all of the authors and all of their books that people can download from the website to kind of get you ready, as well as where you can reserve your books at the library for it. We also have started distributing our physical program guides. So if you visit Novel Idea or the Screening Room, the libraries, and a lot of other places downtown, you can pick up your guide there and figure out your schedule.
Once again, that was Ara McCulley, Artistic Director for Writers Fest, sitting down with CFRC to talk about this year's upcoming 16th season. As McCulley stated, to learn more, you can visit their website at kingstonwritersfest.ca. Physical copies of this year's program guide can also be found at local libraries, the Screening Room, Novel Idea, Indigo, and the Tourist Information Center. That wraps up your headlines for this evening, and next up is Paige Lang with your CFRC Arts Desk.
Thanks, Christina. Here's your arts and culture news for today. Continuing this month, the Tet until August 21st will be Contemplating Glaciers, a dialogue, a soul exhibition from Jan Kapitoff, curated by Jessica Turner. The exhibition will include photography, sculpture, paintings, video, audio, and even a virtual reality element using the Oculus headset, and footage from a documentary on the melting of the Athabasca Glacier, currently in production from this creative team. All ages are welcome to peruse this exhibition in the Tet Center Gallery, and it is free to do so, though exhibition hours vary. There's new events and exhibitions all the time, and to learn more, you can visit tetcenter.org. This year's Kick and Push Festival, now in its 10th year as an interactive local theater festival, launched on July 25th and runs until August 18th across Kingston. Kick and Push specializes in one-of-a-kind, unexpected, and immersive shows that take the audience beyond passive observers, ranging from venues like the Grand Theater to the Tet Center, to the more unexpected. Kick and Push also hosts the Theater Kingston Fringe Festival, which runs 11 days from August 1st to 11th across three venues and includes 18 shows. To learn more about Kick and Push, you can visit thekickandpush.com, and for more on Fringe, visit theaterkingston.com. In more theater news, Blue Canoe Theatrical Productions presents the Cole Porter musical High Society at the Domino Theater. Running until August 10th, Blue Canoe brings theater opportunities for local youth under 30 to the stage in Kingston, and is now in their 18th season. Tickets to this production are $25 for general audiences and $18 for youth and seniors. To learn more and for tickets, visit bluecanoetheatrical.ca. At the Union Gallery, in partnership with Modern Fuel, is the Twofold Artists in Residence program. Led by co-directors Jill Glott and Berlin Reed, This program provides an opportunity for local BIPOC artists to dive into their practices, collaborations, and discussions while having access to designated workspaces, professional development and mentorship, communal events, and to studio visit platform. This year's artists-in-residence are Shanique Pert, Alicia Yudvari, Shamara Pert, and Sumara Khan, who will work at the Union Gallery in July and Modern Fuel Art Gallery in August. The Union Gallery is open Tuesday through Saturday and is free to visit. For more information, visit uniongallery.queensu.ca. This and every summer Tuesday, you can head down to Springer Market Square for Salsa in the Square. From 6:30 to 7:30 p.m., enjoy a free beginner class, then hit the open dance floor until 10 p.m. Also every Wednesday summer evening, enjoy Swingin' Summer, a live music throwback to the era of romantic, joyful, and jazzy songs, from 7 to 8 p.m. And every summer Friday evening, Springer Market Square hosts Kickin' It Country from 7 to 8 p.m., featuring live local country music. For more on these events, visit downtownkingston.ca. Registration for summer term programming at the Kingston School of Art is now open, including programs for youth and adults, as well as workshops and summer camps. Coming up in August are adult programs like Exploring Realism with Charcoal, Realism in Oil, Foundations of Darkroom Photography and Intermediate Print Space, and youth program Painting Creatures. For more information and to register, visit ksoa.info. Every Monday at Daft Brewing, Bon Evans hosts Music Trivia Mondays at 7 p.m. Put your music knowledge to the test in four more rounds of trivia, whether you're going solo or in a team, with clips, questions, and more. The winning team walks away at the end of the night with $50 gift cards and bragging rights, so be sure to check it out for a Monday night of music and fun. Kingston welcomes back Movies in the Square and Springer Market Square on Thursdays this summer, and the full lineup has now been announced. This week, August 1st, A League of Their Own starts at dusk. This summer, you can also mark your calendars for Beetlejuice on August 8th, Freaky Friday on August 15th, Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian on August 22nd, and Lilo and Stitch on August 29th. Be sure to mark your calendars now and bring your blankets, chairs, and bug spray to experience your favorite films for free this summer under the stars. That's all I got for you on Arts Desk today. Now I'll turn it over to Jesse Bell at the Sports Desk.
This is Jesse Bell from the CFRC Sports Desk, and this is your sports report for Wednesday, August 7th, 2024. Today's sports report is the 10th part of a 12-part series previewing the upcoming OUA football season. Today, we'll be discussing the Laurier Golden Hawks. 2023 marked the arrival of the Laurier Golden Hawks on the national contending stage. They started their season with 7 straight victories, highlights including an 11-10 road victory over Queens, a 36-9 drubbing of McMaster, and a 40-7 blowout over the Windsor Lancers, who at the time were also undefeated. The only loss Laurier would experience in 2023 in the regular season was a 3-point loss to the Western Mustangs in a classic clash that determined the top seed in the OUA. Laurier's breakthrough season was the result of excellent coaching from Michael Faulds, incredible quarterback play from league MVP Taylor Elgersma, and a balanced offensive and defensive approach to football that allowed the team's athletes to really shine. Offensively, Laurier's scheme made great use of running back Quentin Scott as both a runner and receiver. In addition to Scott's outstanding season, Taylor Elgersma was throwing absolute dots to everybody in purple, but especially Raiden Thorne and Ethan Jordan, his top two receivers. Most of these impact players for the Golden Hawks will be back and better in 2024, including, of course, reigning MVP Taylor Elgersma, who looks to add a second consecutive Most Outstanding Player trophy to his cabinet. The Laurier defense doesn't have as many solo standout players, but as a unit, this was one of the best in the country, led largely by outstanding linebacker and secondary play. If Laurier can get a bit more of a push from their defensive line, it'll make this unit one of the most complete and dangerous in the country. Laurier had an outstanding 2023 season, going 7-1, and it looks likely that 2024 will be as good, if not better, than that outstanding 2023 season. The Golden Hawks have home field advantage in 4 of their biggest games in 2024 against Guelph, Western, Ottawa, and Queens. That home field advantage will be invaluable, and I think Laurier should be favored in just about every game they play. Ultimately, I feel the Golden Hawks will end up with a 6-2 record on the season. I think their 2 losses will come to Western and Queens. Laurier should finish 3rd in the conference and will be a team nobody wants to see come playoff time. This concludes your sports report for Wednesday, August 7th, 2024. This is Jesse Bell signing off and leaving you with a special promo hyping up that October 5th game between the Queens Gales and the Laurier Golden Hawks, one that will surely have major ramifications for the OUA playoffs. It's been said that football is a game of inches. Even the smallest margin can mean the difference between victory and defeat. Elation and agony. The next round, or your final game. In 2023, the Gales were on the wrong side of that margin as they lost their home opener in dramatic, heartbreaking fashion to the Laurier Golden Hawks. Now the Gales find themselves in the role of the Road Warriors, traveling to Laurier's home turf, hungry for revenge. Who will prevail in this clash of Vanier Cup contenders? On Saturday, tune in to CFRC 101.9 FM or CFRC.ca to catch all the pulse-pounding action. The CFRC pregame show will begin at 12:45 p.m. with a 1 p.m. scheduled kickoff time. We hope you'll join us for this classic clash between two powerhouse programs.
Now for your CFRC weekly traffic report. Pavement rehabilitations will take place along Highway 401 between Westbrook Road to beyond the Highway 15 overpass and on the Sir John A. MacDonald overpass. This work will consist of various lane and ramp closures over the next several months. Highway 401 westbound at Sydenham Road on ramp, expect lane and ramp closures during the following dates and times. August 6th from 12 a.m. to 6 a.m. August 6th from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. August 7th from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. and August 8th from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. Highway 401 eastbound at Sydenham Road, expect a lane and ramp closure during the following dates and times, August 8th from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. PSPC wishes to advise users that the LaSalle Causeway is still fully closed to motorists, cyclists, and pedestrians until further notice. In road closures to look out for, Albert Street Princess to 486 Albert closed until December 31st for construction activity. Bagot Street, Barrie to West, closed July 30th until August 8th at 7 p.m. for the Canadian Little League Championship. Earl Street, University to Division, closed August 6th from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. for reconstruction of Aberdeen Street. Hillcrest Avenue, Kings Court to 7th, closed until September 1st for buried infrastructure replacement. The road will be open to local traffic. King Street, Plastarms to North End of King, closed until September 30th for the construction of new storm and roadbed. The road will be open to local traffic. Sydenham Street, Princess to Queen, closed until September 27th for downtown Kingston BIA activations. Union Street, Victoria to Albert, closed beginning August 7th for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Project details are available on Get Involved Kingston. University Avenue, Union to Stewart, closed August 8th from 12:30 p.m. to 4 p.m. to accommodate participant safety for the 2024 Canadian Orienteering Festival. University Avenue Union to Earl closed for removal of debris from the Queens JDUC project. Wellington Street Princess to Brock closed August 6th and 7th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. each day. William Street University to Division closed August 6th from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. for reconstruction of Aberdeen Street. In parking disruptions, the Hanson Memorial Parking Structure Restoration Project is now underway. No more than 50% of the available 271 parking spaces will be closed at any time. There is also parking availability at the Chown Memorial and Robert Bruce Memorial parking garages in the two adjacent blocks to the west. On Wednesday, August 7th, the Hanson Memorial Garage will be fully closed from 5 p.m. to 2 p.m. Alternative parking is available at the Robert Bruce Memorial Garage, 266 Bagot, and the Chown Memorial Garage, 197 Brock. In other delays to look out for, Aberdeen Street, Johnson to Earl, expect delays and closures along Aberdeen. Bay Ridge Drive, Princess to Taylor Kidd, expect delays while a contractor begins Phase 2 of the Bay Ridge Drive active transportation upgrades. Collins Bay Road, Prince Charles Edwin to Princess, expect delays while a contractor completes Phase 2 of the Princess and Collins Bay active transportation improvements. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford. Expect delays while contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence. Expect a lane closure to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road. Highway 2 and St. Lawrence Avenue. The lane closure will be controlled by a temporary traffic signal. John Counter Boulevard at Montreal Street. Expect delays while a contractor completes interim intersection improvements. Work will take place overnight from Sunday night to Friday mornings during the week and on weekends during the day. For more details on all of these projects, you can visit Get Involved Kingston. That wraps up your traffic report for this evening, and next up is your concerts and events calendar with Dinah Jansen.
Thank you so much. And now it's time for the CFRC Community Concert and Events Calendar. Have an event you would like posted on our website and announced on our news programming? Reach out to us via cfrc.ca. On Wednesday, August 7th, bring your friends to the patio at the Cove Inn for Wings and Tunes, a weekly open mic jam with Sean McCullough and friends from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. Admission is free. And you can also walk down to Springer Market Square on Wednesday evening for Swingin' Summer with the Nostalgic Sound Big Band. You can enjoy romantic, joyful, and jazzy music of yesteryear from 7 to 8 p.m. for free. And coming up on Thursday, August 8th, you can head over for Great Standards and Originals by local artist Michael K. Myers at the RCHA. Admission is $5 and the show gets going from 7 to 10 p.m. Also on August 8th, enjoy Sapphic Sirens, the queer caravan featuring music by queer femme, indie pop and rock bands The Black Void, Frankie Flowers Dichotomy, and Alia Archangel at The Mansion starting at 8:30 p.m. Admission is $17. And also on Thursday night, you can check out the Chris George Project with the Jacob River Milnes Music Group for a night of fun pop rock for free at the Toucan from 9:30 onwards. And now moving into your weekend, we've got a lot of great concerts for you. On Friday, August 9th, check out local indie rock outfit $5 dates for free at Blue Martini from 7 to 10 p.m. And just down the street, the RCHA is hosting Happy Hour TJIF with Smoke and Roosters, a free show happening from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. and starting at 8 p.m., East Coast Juno and Maple Blues Award winner Garrett Mason is playing a show at the RCHA. Tickets are $15. And also on Friday, August 9th, get your funky friends and head on down to the Toucan for a free show featuring the Boo Radley Project, fusing funk, indie, and jazz for your dancing pleasure starting at 10:30 p.m. And then coming up on Saturday, August 10th at midday, head over to Confederation Park for free live music starting at 11:30, featuring performances by local acts, Third Time's a Charm, River Cats, and Cacao. You can also walk down to the Juniper Cafe for summer live music, also happening on August 10th, featuring music on the cafe's waterfront patio by Doug van der Horden. The free event runs from 4 to 6 p.m. And also on August 10th, Many Moons Events presents an evening of moody indie and folk rock with local bands Funeral Lakes and Princess Towers, an all-ages event starting at 7 p.m. happening at 12 Cataraqui Street. Admission is $15 or pay what you can. And on Sunday, August 11th, take a drive out to Finkel's Shore Park in Bath for an afternoon of free music performed by Lucanus Pell at 3 p.m., Frank Ryan at 4 p.m., and also Abby Stewart at 5 p.m. And now it's time for the CFRC Community Events Calendar. If you have a community event you would like to promote on our airwaves and on our website, reach out to us via cfrc.ca. Don't forget that the Theatre Kingston Fringe Festival is a theatre festival within the larger Kick and Push Festival running August 1st through 11th. There are many performances for the TK Fringe Festival that are performed at the Confederation Place Hotel, Davies Lounge, and Baby Grand. Visit thekickandpush.com or kingstongrand.ca for box office information. Coming up on Wednesday, August 7th, Daft Brewery is hosting its weekly YGK Trivia Night, a free event starting at 7 o'clock, running through 9:30. And Musiki Cafe is also hosting its weekly life drawing event from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. Bring your own art supplies and $5. On Thursday, August 8th, folks can bring a lawn chair and a pal and head down to the Springer Market Square on Thursday night for a free screening of Beetlejuice starting at dusk. Also on Thursday, folks who are 55 years old or older seeking to connect with seniors can check out the weekly senior social group at the KCCU room at the Kingston Community Health Centers between 9:30 and 11:30 a.m. On Friday, August 9th, why not check out the six-city guided walking tour facilitated by the Museum of Healthcare. One-hour tours with 15 minutes of total walking times run between 10:30 and 2 p.m. Thursdays through Saturdays. Admission is $10 for adults and free for children under 12. Also on Friday, St. Mark's Lutheran is also hosting Balboa Social Dance on Friday with doors opening at 6:15 for all-level introductory Balboa dance lessons starting at 6:30. Admission is $5 for students and $8 for community members. And coming up on August 10th, come on down to City Park from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. for the 41st Annual Women's Art Festival, featuring over 150 artists and artisans, local live entertainment, including music and dancing, local cuisine, and a children's activity tent. The event is free and all are welcome. And finally, on Sunday, August 11th, Roots and Wings, a group for girls, trans, two-spirit, and gender nonconforming youth of color between ages 8 and 14 in Kingston, is hosting a free community gathering and potluck barbecue for BIPOC folks and their families. Join in the fun at 1 p.m. in Victoria Park and enjoy music, games, and activities.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What Will I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear. Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.